Well, here we are at Christmas time again, and if you're in any doubt as to whether or not we'd have a white Christmas, unless something remarkable happens between now and Friday, doubt no longer. In fact, you may be ready to throttle the next person who sings that they're dreaming of a white Christmas. Plans that people have had for great family get-togethers lie in tatters. Anybody who works for Eurostar must be running a permanent migraine at the moment. We are facing all sorts of trials and tribulations because of the snow that we think we love to see at Christmas time. It's a very strange season, isn't it, Christmas, as well as a joyful one. It's a very odd one. People do the most remarkable things. Marks and Spencers, for instance, are doing something remarkable for us all in that they estimate they'll sell more than 500 tons of Brussels sprouts over the Christmas period. Which apparently is heavy as 125 double-decker buses, which may actually be more appetizing than 500 tons of sprouts for some people, but not for all. Tesco have stocked up with 2.25 million fresh and frozen turkeys, and 72 million mince pies, and 16 million Christmas crackers. And apparently, if all these Christmas crackers were laid end-to-end, they would stretch the entire length of the UK coastline, which is a useful thing to know. We also have a reliable source of information which says that it's estimated that over Christmas as much as 83 square kilometres of wrapping paper will end up in UK rubbish bins, enough to cover an area larger than Guernsey, if you will. Over 6 million trees were bought last year in the United Kingdom, most of which were thrown out after December, creating over 9,000 tons of additional rubbish, almost five times the weight of the London Eye. In case you're wondering how heavy the London Eye is, it's one-fifth the number of the weight of trees that's going to be thrown out in the early new year. At this Christmas, the UK will consume, it's estimated, almost 5.5 million jars of mincemeat, having taken the lids off first, of course, 12 million jars of pickles, 6.5 million jars of cranberry sauce. They are all packaged in glass, but only a small percentage will be recycled. Well, it is a strange season. And it's a very strange season, not simply because of what we do with Brussels sprouts and other things, but it's a strange season because of what we do with Jesus. In that we have rather like the sort of the fond notion of a white Christmas, and rather like the fond notion of a lovely family Christmas, which it can go pear-shaped, can't it? When the reality comes, it's different. Now, we have a fond notion of Jesus, the little baby in the manger, cute on the Christmas cards, delightful and enchanting and endearing, especially when it goes wrong at the nativity plays that the children do, all the better when they go wrong. We have this picture of what he's like, but the reality is somewhat different. But here's the rub. The reality is better. The reality is better. And the reality is truer. It is very unlikely that the little Lord Jesus, no crying he made. The reality of the Lord Jesus is better than the picture we have. The reality is one of a person who came to save. Now, I say a person who came to save rather than simply a person who was born, because what we have read from Isaiah makes his birth not simply the birth of any baby, which is always wonderful, but it is the birth of somebody who has come from somewhere else. It is the birth of the Son of God. And we sang in that terrific Christmas carol, Good Christian Men Rejoice. We sang that Jesus Christ was born to save. Because the person that we think of in the manger, the person that we think of so cute and vulnerable, the person that we think of who is God incomprehensibly made man, the eternal God reduced to this little baby, came to save us from something that, therefore, we needed to be saved from. When the angel was pointing out to Joseph that he didn't need to divorce Mary because the baby that Mary was carrying was not born out of some improper relationship with somebody, but was born of God, was because of the Holy Spirit who had come upon her. Then the angel told Joseph what the baby had to be called. And the baby had to be called Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. So the one born at Christmas time, the one whose birth we remember at Christmas time, is the Savior. There is something to be saved from. And the thing that we need to be saved from that he came to save is not economic disaster. It's not sort of financial meltdown. It's not redundancy. He didn't come to save us from climate disasters. He didn't come to save us from military problems. He didn't come to save us by sorting out our international relations. He came to save us, said the angel to Joseph, from our sin. Now here's the thing, and this is why today's talk is the third in a series, which has been quite unashamedly nicked from the Bourne trilogy. First, last Tuesday, was Bourne Identity. We're spelling Bourne, B-O-R-N, colon. And Bourne Identity. Sunday evening, Bourne Supremacy. We were thinking of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at our carol service on Sunday evening. Today, what we're thinking about is Bourne Ultimatum, which, if you're familiar with the Bourne films, you'll recognize is the last of the three. Because there is an ultimatum attached to Jesus. Because he's not simply the little baby who stays in the manger. He is Jesus the man, who is Jesus the Lord, who is Jesus who will come back. And when he comes back, he will come back to judge. Now, of course, that sounds as if it's striking a very negative note. And at this season of goodwill and good cheer, and mince pies and snowball throwing and lots of laughter and nice warm drinks by the fire, then striking that note of judgment seems totally inappropriate, but in actual fact, it's one that the Bible strikes. Let me just read you a little bit from that first reading from Isaiah. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. You see, he's going to come and judge, and he's going to come and decide for or against people. And before we sort of react too negatively to that, let's bear in mind that, in actual fact, isn't that what we want? Don't we actually want injustice to be called to account? Don't you want that in the world? Don't you want injuries that have been inflicted upon people to be called to account? Don't you want people who have gone around doing evil and wickedness to have to answer for that? Do you not actually want a world with justice in it? Do you not want a day of reckoning because there are things going on in the world that we all see that require some reckoning? I don't know if you were watching the news yesterday on TV, and it was on again at breakfast time today, about some of the children who are still being kept in the most appalling conditions in parts of Eastern Europe. And those who were children, when, for instance, Ceausescu was deposed in Romania, and it was thought would have a terrific future now that they could be free, now as adults are in conditions that are just as appalling. Don't you want something to be done about that? And even if the politicians can't make something happen, if something has been done to those children, don't you want the people who were doing it to them, who were responsible for that lack of care, don't you want them to have to answer for that? Or do you want them just to get off scot-free? You see, judgment can sound like the wrong note to strike at Christmas time, but in actual fact, when we stop and think, we think, no, there is enough going on in the world for us to think that, yes, somebody needs to sort this. Somebody needs to call people to account. Somebody really, really good needs to be in charge. Somebody quite unfathomably good and true and honest needs to be in charge. Somebody who's not going to be swayed by appearances. Somebody who's not going to be swayed by lies told to him, whispered in his ears. Somebody who's not going to be able to be bought by anybody else. Somebody who's not going to be acting purely out of self-interest for personal gain. We need somebody just unfathomably good to come onto the stage of the whole world, this global village. And that is precisely who Jesus is. The ultimatum is that he's coming back. He said it, and the Bible talks about it. That passage from Isaiah talks about a time which is still to come for us. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he won't come back as a cute baby in a manger. He will come back to do justice. He'll do it with perfect righteousness. He'll do it with perfect understanding. He'll do it with perfect truthfulness. You see, when the angel said to Joseph he will save his people from their sins, the one who visits consequences upon sins is Jesus himself. Jesus came to save us from God, as God. He came to save us from his own coming judgment. And that's why we can sing, as we sang, Jesus Christ was born to save. And this is the most wonderful news of all, that when we think of Jesus at Christmas time, we don't just have some sympathy evoked. He isn't there just to try and sort of draw out of us some good feelings that we've got in there so we're going to go and be nice to the neighbours for a while. He doesn't just sort of draw out of us something that makes us share what we've got and turn become suddenly nice, kind people for a short while. He hasn't come to sort of improve us a little bit. He's come to save us. He's come to save us from a far more serious problem than just a little bit of selfishness here and there, or not knowing the neighbours too well, or being too busy to look after people. He's come to save us from something that we would face because of our sins. That's why it is so true, as one little Christmas card that we received that's upstairs in the office, so true what it says, the only hope for world peace was born in the Middle East. He is the hope for peace. He is the hope for our peace with God. Our peace for the future. Our peace about the things that we have done that we wouldn't want a judge to know about. He came to save. So you see, getting a white Christmas might not be quite what we thought it would be. Shopping in Marks and Spencer's might not be quite what we think it would be, unless we're a bit more realistic and we know what it's going to be like, so we'll just get in and out as fast as possible. Jesus isn't quite what we've turned him into with the Christmas cards and the nativity scenes. He is way, way bigger and better than that. Born with an ultimatum in view. And the choice he gives is simply to trust him to save us or not. To hang on to the sins and go down with them, or to trust him to forgive our sins. Just mere forgiveness. No coming up with mitigating circumstances, no fine excuses, just mere forgiveness. Jesus Christ was born to save, and he calls us one, and he calls all of us. Let's pray.